I had a very strange childhood.
Had the worst case any doctor had ever seen.
My job is to keep healing.
So that is the story.
We all have remarkable stories within us. Stories of adversity, challenges, triumphs, and ultimately of healing. This is Your Health, Your Story, the podcast.
Imagine 15 years of pain and undiagnosed symptoms, being bedridden and suffering through relapse after relapse until finally reaching the diagnosis of Lyme disease. Our guest today is an influencer who has been through hell and back and ultimately became her own advocate for health. She now pours her heart and soul into fighting for better patient care and treatment for others who suffer from Lyme. This is the story of a Lyme warrior with Elena Crail. Elena, great to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
You know, we recently met over in Los Angeles, and I have to say, when I met you, you embodied the picture of a very healthy person, someone that seems vibrant, that seems completely, you know, has their well-being about them, yet you suffered for so long. So I know looks could be deceiving, but number one, congratulations on literally coming back from what I know is a long, long battle. And I know it's not over ever. We're always healing, but that's definitely a good step in things. But maybe we could start somewhere at the beginning here in seeing how you came about, when your health issues came about, and this journey that you've been battling for so long.
Yes. So my story starts in New York in 96. I came to New York from Ukraine originally. I was almost 16 years old. Went to high school, you know, started meeting friends, started going upstate New York for some Ukrainian festivals, camping, having fun with my friends. And that's when my symptoms started to develop around 98, 99. I was always active in my life. I was a gymnast when I was very young. I went into dancing, diving, all kinds of sports. And even when I came to United States, I did some volleyball as well. So I slowly started to develop symptoms such as brain fog, some joint pain, some random rashes on my body. And I really didn't know what was happening. So that was the origin of my symptoms. And in the beginning, I didn't know what was happening. I considered, you know, that I was stressed, you know, I was so busy with school and work and everything. So I thought maybe it's the stress. And I also thought maybe it was my gymnastics aftermath. You know, I had a lot of injuries. I thought, okay, my joints are hurting from that. You know, that's why I can't walk up the stairs. It's probably from that. So I kind of explained that away. And slowly my symptoms started getting worse and worse and worse over the years.
Yeah. It's one of these things that Lyme progresses. Sometimes it's a fast progression. Sometimes it's incredibly slow.
For me, it was very slow.
So. Yeah. So it's also probably a little tricky because you're thinking, oh, this is a slow progression. It can't be anything that serious. And when was it that you started to actually contemplate or came up with the realization that you were suffering from Lyme disease?
Well, I didn't know it was Lyme, but I knew that there was a problem when I was in college and my grad school. I was seeing patients and I couldn't really concentrate during sessions. I couldn't really write my papers. My brain was scrambling. You know, I was typing nonsensical words. You know, it was just very bizarre symptoms started to happen. And I was really into yoga. And then I noticed I couldn't do standing poses, you know, things like that. So a lot of symptoms started to get worse. And I thought, okay, there's something wrong with me. I don't know what it is, but I need to figure it out.
And once you have that, were you in a state of fear already then, or was it sort of just confusion? What was your state at that point? Not even knowing a diagnosis, but knowing something's wrong.
I was confused.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm young, you know, I'm in my 20s. That's very bizarre. But I was still thinking maybe just stress, you know, that just I'm overworking myself. I just need to take it easy and everything will be okay.
And so did you start to take it easy?
Not really, because, you know, my schoolwork was so, you know, overwhelming. And, you know, I was working. I was a type A personality, you know, go, go, go. You know, I lived in New York.
You can't take it easy in New York. Yeah. Us New Yorkers never take it easy.
No.
So you're trying to push through it, which I've heard from so many people. You just go about your work and everything. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. When was that breaking point for you where you had to say something's really wrong and I need to really find the answer now?
Yeah, when my sleep tanked and I would wake up completely like dead. I couldn't like function. I couldn't even make it to school. I would drive and I would pull off to the side of the road and literally would have to take a nap, you know, and it was just so exhausting. And then by the time I would get to school to see patients, I would want to go home. So I knew that I needed to really explore what was happening to my body.
And what was the first step for you in that exploration? Because I know it's usually not that you just end up right away with, hey, this is Lyme, and you kind of go from there. How was your kind of journey to even getting the diagnosis?
Well, my husband, who was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome at the time, he already knew the doctors, and he said, well, listen, your symptoms are very similar to mine, so maybe that's what you're developing, you know? So he sent me actually to his doctor. So I did not have a really bad experience with the doctors, as so many patients do, you know, it's in your head, blah, blah, blah. I actually went to a specialist in CFS. Well, I actually went to one, and he did not diagnose me with CFS. He said, I just have a yeast condition. And to do a yeast diet, he gave me nystatin. He said, this is what you need. So I kind of did his protocol, did not get better at all. And then I started looking for other functional medicine doctors. And that's when my real journey started.
You skipped over the conventional realm in some ways.
Yes.
You went to the specialist and the functional. Yes. So you like shaved off probably 5 years or so there
I
alone.
I think so.
Right?
I think so. I did have some weird and bad experiences with some doctors where just regular, I would go for, you know, a dermatologist or something. And then they would, you know, they would ask me, are you having any health symptoms? And I would share because, you know, there's a doctor asking me. And then they would suggest, oh, you may be depressed. You know, you should take a look at maybe go to a psychiatrist, things like that. So conventional medicine doctors did send me some of their recommendations, and it was all in my head kind of suggesting. And then I just stopped sharing with them, period.
I mean, and again, you didn't get to a point of such a level probably of frustration with the conventional realm because you already knew other doctors, you knew of functional medicine. Once you started going down the realm of, let's say, functional doctors, how quickly was it till someone gave you Lyme as the diagnosis?
Still years.
Years, okay.
Still years. Yeah. Still, I do not know why it wasn't, you know, Lyme test was not on anybody's mind. You know, maybe because it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, they were really, you know, it was more CFS at the time. And then I did get a CFS diagnosis eventually. Mm-hmm. And I was treating that with some of the functional medicine doctors, but not really getting better.
And usually if you're not getting better, you're kind of riding the roller coaster of ups and downs. Was that what was going on with you? Did you have good days, bad days, just the ups and downs of Lyme?
Ups and downs. And if I would push myself, I would have a bad, bad relapse. And then I would have to suffer the relapse, come back out, go back out into the world. And eventually I had to take a break from my grad school program. I thought I would take a year off. I would really focus on my health. And I would go back. And I just got worse and worse and worse over the years.
Yeah.
And it was, now I realize, it was untreated Lyme because it was still in my body. Nobody was really treating it, that part of it.
And if Lyme goes untreated, it usually brings along friends with it. You know, you have the
Correct.
Other co-infections.
Co-infections.
Your immune starts to really, you know, break down other areas of the body. Of course, neurological, brain fog, all these things, energy systems. No, so when was it that you finally got the diagnosis? And was that a relieving day for you when someone said the word Lyme?
You know, I was diagnosed with so many other bugs before. Yeah. So it was just like this one more thing,
just
you know,
another one.
Just another one, you
Add
know,
it to the list.
It was. Yeah. So I look at the body, you know, as not just one thing. You have to find everything. So what is happening? It's not just Lyme. It's co-infections. It's a viral, you know, it's heavy metals. So for me, it wasn't like this huge thing. It's just like one more thing I had to address. However, I was really not wanting to go down the antibiotics route.
Mm.
So I got the diagnosis and I just, you know, I stepped back and I said, you know what, I don't know if how I can treat this, you know. Let me continue on the same path, try to figure it out. Maybe it'll get better. But I really did not want to do antibiotics.
And could you share why? I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, but I think the audience is curious as to why someone wouldn't want to go down the antibiotic route, which is the main route you'd probably be told to go down if you're diagnosed with Lyme.
I've heard horror stories how, you know, people's bodies just get destroyed by all the antibiotics. IV antibiotics, of course, is better because it bypasses the gut, but still, I mean, it's still affecting everything.
It's a nuke bomb in the body. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know a lot of people, you know, choose that route and that's okay. You know, we all choose our own path of healing. Mm-hmm. And my choice was I did not want to do it at the time.
So,
and actually never did it. I actually have never done it.
That's impressive. Yeah. Because I'm sure you were told you had to do it, right?
Yes. Yes. Point. Yes. 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 And I saw a Lyme doctor in upstate New York, you know, Dr. Horowitz, and he did have this huge program for me, and it included multiple antibiotics, very, very strong stuff. And again, I made a choice. Even though I was really sick, I made a choice not to do it. And I don't know what would have happened if I did. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can't play the game of what if in the healing, right? Because everyone does that. What if I caught it years later? What if I did this?
Yeah.
You know, you could sit there and say that about so much, and especially about disease. I know so many patients say, oh, I wish I did this and this, but wishes and all these things don't really help with the healing process ever. You got to deal with where you are and what it is and be realistic with it. So you've got the diagnosis. You're not going down the antibiotic route. What now?
So I'm trying to boost my body with, you know, vitamin IVs, Myers cocktail, glutathione, supplement route, trying to treat everything else I can find underneath, heavy metals, parasites, whatnot, and still not getting better and actually getting worse. Things like glutathione IV, you know, don't think it would make me worse. It does. Mm-hmm. It completely makes me bedridden. I lose my standing capability and I'm in shock because I'm doing all these natural things and I am also getting worse. And at the time, there was no understanding in my mind that we're all that different, even for the natural routes, you know what I mean? Genetically, and my body just couldn't handle the detox that glutathione probably was causing. Toxins circulating through my body, actually shutting me down. You know, I wasn't doing binders at the time. There was no understanding that I needed to do binders. So I think I was just pushing myself way, way too much with the natural therapies.
Well, and that's the thing I feel like people misunderstand is that just because you don't go down the conventional route doesn't mean that other therapies more on the natural holistic side don't have side effects.
Right.
Absolutely do.
Right.
In many ways, they could even be worse sometimes, right? If you take some strong herbs or something and your body can't handle, or if you go that really tough detox route and your body's just has so much and is trying to push it out the door, right? And your door is very small to get rid of it. That's just going to recirculate. You're going to have Herx reactions, all these other things that could be 10 times worse.
Right. And if you don't have a system in place to deal with that, you know, with the die-off, you will get worse.
Yeah. And I know this about you. You're very strong on this idea of becoming your best advocate, your own patient advocate in a way. It had to have been born from necessity for you, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Because I did not see much help out there. Even with functional medicine doctors, I saw a few people. Mm-hmm. And you still had to figure out your own treatment protocol. You would have to take things from each doctor and kind of put it together and see what would work for you.
And that creates a longer process, but it also empowers you to really do the research and truly understand yourself.
Right, right.
Is it the process of like trial and error that gave you a better understanding of what worked with your line?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, yes. Because we are all different.
And this is why I'm not even going to ask you about the particulars of what you saw helped you. I mean, you could talk about them if you'd like, but I don't feel it would help the audience listening to hear that, because I know this, and again, something we've discussed a little bit, is this idea of someone shares their treatment program that you go run out and try it and think it's going to work for you, which is 99% of the time not the case.
Correct.
Were you doing that yourself, where you were looking for other people to kind of give you some insight into your own condition, or were you already sort of just totally dialed in on, I'm going to try it my way and just see how this goes?
No, I always thought I had to do it my way.
Okay.
I would try to learn from everybody what worked for them, but I wouldn't try to repeat it, because I knew that, you know, I'm different. I'm very sensitive, and I would have to start very slow. And I think my experience with glutathione IV is that what made it click in my brain. I said, oh, wait a second, you know, I really have to figure out exactly what works for my body. Mm. And that's why when people ask me, well, what do you do? What helped you? You know, but I'm like, you can't just repeat what I'm doing. You know, you have to find exactly, you know, you have to do trial and error. That's what you have to.
Everyone wants the protocol, the answer, the silver bullet. What was the treatment that really helped you? I've realized that really doesn't matter as much as it does matter to be persistently being your best advocate, as you said, and always looking. And did you have a specific, let's say, system of tracking things, or were you journaling kind of how you felt or energy during the day, or, you know, putting spreadsheets together, or was it just an intuitive sort of thing?
Oh my God, I did a spreadsheet.
You did? Okay. I do spreadsheets for everything. So I'm such a spreadsheet guy. So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Every day I would, like, you know, I would track my symptoms and, you know, all the treatments I was doing, how I felt, my sleep, everything. Yes, I was tracking. But eventually I got so bad that I couldn't even be on the computer anymore. So then I had to just kind of do it in my head.
What was the lowest point there for you? Was there like an inflection point or rock bottom?
Yes, a few years ago. I would have to say I was getting better for a few years eventually. You know, I was kind of coming back to health. I had hope in my, you know, in my head. I was like, oh my God, I'm coming back. And one day I overdid it. I went driving to a mall, I went shopping, and I carried these heavy bags. I could barely make it back to the car where I was parked. And I drove back to my home. And the next day I was just out. Like, it was a truck ran me over. And after that, I was just in a horrific state for about a year. And I did have a lot of yeast issues at the time. And again, I started taking oregano oil because I did not want to do ketoconazole or something like that.
Sure.
And I didn't realize at the time that oregano oil could also wipe out all the bacteria, all good and bad bacteria in your gut. And what happened to me, it creamed me completely until I realized that oregano oil was adding to me not being able to come out of that relapse. So that was kind of my lowest points, where I couldn't even speak. I could have few words. I couldn't even have a person in the same room as me. I was bedridden, basically. I had my mom help me dress, undress. I couldn't even sit. I had horrible orthostatic intolerance. So even, forget standing, I couldn't even sit and eat. So I would have to lay down and eat, and even eating would make me exhausted. Extreme sound sensitivity, wearing earplugs basically 24/7, suffering badly, you know, sore throat, my lymph nodes were enlarged, just feeling like I was going to die. So that was the low point in my life, especially as I was getting better, and then to lose years of progress and then be stuck in this state.
That must have really messed with you, right? You feel like that, you're on this really path messed. Out. You feel like you see a light at the end of the tunnel, and then it's just gone.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like, and then
did you lose hope? Like, completely at that point?
I did. Yeah. That's when I said, you know what? I'm going to die. I felt like I was going to die. You know, I was just laying there on my couch, counting every minute of the day to get to bed so I could try to sleep and forget about the suffering. But even sleep, you know, wasn't that great. And that's when I realized how, you know, horrific this disease can be, how it can you know, you can start getting better and then it can just be all taken away.
Yeah.
If you overdo it. But, you know, it creates this PTSD of some, you know, of some sort. Like you never want to push.
And especially since it kind of is, I feel like it messes with people because you do have good days and you have hope and then it just goes right back down.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was like getting better, I see the light at that. And then it turns and it's just a little bit of exertion, a little bit of stress, a little bit of some sort of trauma. And that's it to get you really back down to almost where you started, if not worse. Now you're at this bottom part. You've been doing good. You hit this rock bottom. You're contemplating, are you going to make this out of this? What was it that kept you going in a sense? I mean, you're better, you know, you got back up, but what was it at that rock bottom that was able to make you kind of continue on?
Actually, my husband, because he was so sick at the same time, right? With his own, he has his own Lyme story. And I knew that if I wasn't there for him, he would pass away.
Mm.
So that kind of kept me going, that I was like, I have to get better for him and for myself. You know, he doesn't have anybody to take care of him at home. You know what I mean? And that kind of kept me going at the time. And I was like, I need to figure out how to make myself better so I can also help him. And I was laying there trying to figure out what it was for a while, because I was like, how do I even go to doctors? Because I can't even make it there. I can't even have a conversation with the doctor because I am so sick.
So where do you start at that level? Because I'm sure there are people out there listening saying, I'm basically there. And I've spoken to many that I've been in that state of bedridden and just, you know, completely at a loss of what is my next step here? Like, I can't even go to the doctor. What am I supposed to do? What did you do?
I hired a health coach.
Mm.
I needed help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the kind of person who hate asking for help, right? I want to do everything myself, even when I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
And even knowledge, you know, all the learn, you know, everything I've learned over the years, you know, I thought I knew so much, but I was like, you know what? I need more help. I need more insight into this. And I remembered watching Real Housewives of Orange County or something, and Yolanda Foster was there, and she had Lyme, and Daisy, health coach, was helping her at the time. It just came to my mind. I didn't even know her name or anything, so I Googled who was this person who helped Yolanda, and Daisy's name came up. I texted her, and she said, I would like to talk to you, and I wrote back. I said, I can't talk. I'm really sick. And she said, well, what if you don't like the sound of my voice? And I said, I'll take my chances. And I said, you're hired, basically. Like, help me.
Yeah.
I was at the point, I was like, I didn't even know what you know, what you did or anything. I just needed an extra help in the health field that, you know, somebody would come and help me with the doctors and treatments and everything.
And you've obviously improved from there, correct?
Exactly.
That point, you started to turn things around. You started to regain some strength, some energy. You started going back out and seeing doctors, again, being your own patient advocate, doing a lot of blood tests and all these things. And one of the things I'll say is that you have a wonderful, you know, Instagram social presence where you documented a lot of this. Was that something that was a little bit, gave you some sort of ability to connect with others to kind of give some insight into what a journey it is to have Lyme disease? What was the initial kind of point of you putting that out there?
You know, I have built a big audience, you know, over the years. I started it as a hobby, something to take my mind off. I loved dressing up all my life. You know, I also love wearing colors. And I would always dress up for my doctor's appointments, no matter how bad I felt. And actually, my mom helped me put on some outfits at the time because I was so sick. You know, I wore my heels and my wheelchair, you know, and I just always wanted to look like a normal human being. That to me was, you know, this is what I wanted to look like. And over the years, you know, I built a big audience, and, you know, I didn't really share about my health. You know, I just focused on the clothing and happy things. But then I said, you know what, I'm stronger now. And I have the ability to use my platform to raise awareness about chronic illnesses, whatever it is, Lyme, CFS, fibromyalgia. You know, there's so many people out there who look normal, but who are really suffering. And, you know, that gave me a push, you know, to start sharing my story and some of my treatments. I try not to do it too much because I don't want people running and doing what I'm doing. But at the same time, I would like to educate people on what's out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
people
so
need
vital.
To know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They really do. I found it that people don't even need to like more research on their own sort of thing. They need that, but they need to hear stories from other people so it guides them down different paths and has them open to it. The thing I've realized by speaking to so many people is they don't even realize what is out there for them. They don't even have, they're thinking it's antibiotic or nothing. It's
right.
Or maybe like, you know, some acupuncture or something I could try when mm-hmm. there are so many other things out there. And just to bring awareness to them is a big, big step in the right direction for them.
Right, right. Yeah. And then since then, I've had so many people contacted me on Instagram and just thanking for sharing my story. And then it's giving them strength to carry on and to keep looking for something that would work for their body. And it just makes me so incredibly happy. I mean, that's so inspiring that people can see me getting better and keep looking for themselves, because I know how it is.
Oh, you know how it is to be at rock bottom. And doesn't it also feel like this is such a wonderful part of the healing journey, is the ability that while you're going through it to impact others' lives?
Oh my God. That's the best thing for, you know, I love helping people and for me to share my story. I'm just so grateful that I'm able to do that.
Well, I'm grateful for you sharing it too, because I truly believe more people need these beacons of hope, because they go to the doctors that say it's in your head. They go to the doctors that say you can only take antibiotics. And then after that, they're feeling worse saying, what do I do now?
Right.
And if they hear from people like yourself, they say, okay, I still have hope. Because
I'm
sure you'll agree, the worst place you could be is in a hopeless situation where you
Absolutely.
Feel there's nothing left for you and that's it.
Yeah. And then you start thinking, am I actually crazy?
Yeah.
Like, do I have these symptoms? You know, I can't speak. I mean, is it me? You know, like, is there something wrong with me? But I'm normalizing these symptoms, you know, by sharing my story. And people are like, oh, yeah, you know, I have the same thing. It, you know, okay. So it's normal to have this.
Do you feel that you'll always be in this kind of a healing journey? I mean, I always say we're always all healing, but for you, do you feel that this is something that you're just going to always do for the rest of your life, meaning place this first, do all the work and everything? Because some people heal and then they just leave it and go on. Some people carry on and don't really mind the idea of being in a certain space that is always going to be a disease space. Where do you feel like the future for you is?
Well, yeah, as you said, we should all be healing on all levels. I mean, that's how we grow as human beings. For me, I think I'll continue healing for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I don't like to associate with any disease personally. I don't like labels, but I do like to say that I'm constantly trying to get better physically, emotionally, spiritually. We all need to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And be better human beings for ourselves, and then we can help others.
Is there a part of you now that can look back on everything you've gone to and see it some sort of blessing?
Somebody actually asked me that question recently, and I said no.
Mm.
No. I still think it was not a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I didn't have it, and I'm sure, you know what, even then, I'm sure I would have found a way to help people. Because that's who I am. Not in the, you know, with Lyme, but with something else.
And that is the truth of, I think, any disease or any time you go through something like this, is it's a very personal thing too. Some people won't always see it as a blessing and shouldn't. And I think that's part of it that's also very personal. It's part of your mm-hmm. journey, but it doesn't mean
it is
you
part
have
of my journey. I accept it.
Yes. And there is no other way around it now. You can't
right.
go back in time
yeah.
and not change
yeah.
it. You can't
yeah.
live in regret as if you could have done something different.
No.
I think that's a big part of what a lot of people have to deal with also, is sometimes they live in a state of regret. Maybe it was the decisions they made that led them up to where they are right now, or maybe it wasn't. Do you have any advice for that on how to just live in the present and accept that, you know, you've gone through this and you just have to keep moving forward?
this is very incredibly difficult to do,
yeah.
to not have regrets. You just have to do your best, really. Just focus on the present, focus on, you know, on the future. Just keep doing, you know, keep looking for what's out there, because it's not really helpful. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's going to cause the stress and bring your body down. You just need to focus on the future and the present. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a day by day trying to stay positive, understanding it's never going to truly go away, this feeling. Like, we all have regrets, even people that are, you know, haven't gone through this sort of a situation experience in life will have regrets. Mm-hmm. It's just how you deal with it and how you can stay present and, you know, the practices you might start to implement. And I know you've implemented that. You're incredibly passionate about health now. You're incredibly passionate about organic foods and everything
yes,
like that.
Yes.
Right? Is that not part of where the journey has led you?
Yes. It has changed my lifestyle to be incredibly aware of what I'm putting in my body, you know, food-wise, supplement-wise, you know, the air I breathe, the water I drink, and just realizing how toxic the world is and how, you know, it's getting worse every year, basically, you know, and how we actually have to protect ourselves, unfortunately. I mean, you also don't want to overstress with that and be completely scared, but just being aware that that's the reality and, you know, making the best out of it. You know, I have air purifiers, I have, you know, water filters, but I don't think about it on a daily basis. I just choose some things, you know, that would help with that.
And that's where we should all strive to be aware, but not in a always fearful state. People always say, like, I'm sure you've heard this, you know, you're fear mongering if you're saying, oh, the toxins here, the toxins, you know, chemicals are everywhere. Like, but they are, they are.
But they are. That's the reality.
But this isn't fear mongering. It's bringing it to your attention so you could have the power to change something. So that you could put in the air purifiers, you could put more attention into what you're putting into your body and on your skin. So. Yeah, I truly believe that it's not that ignorance is bliss, but knowledge is power.
Knowledge is always power, always.
And you know, we should be fearful.
Yeah, and I mean, if you know how toxic the world is and you still choose to live, you know,
as,
you
know, without,
it's your choice. Do whatever you want.
Like, we have to acknowledge that we know that smoking is bad for us. And people do it. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, people do it out of a pure love for smoking. And usually, sometimes they don't get sick. So. You can't say just because there's toxins around, you will get sick.
Right.
You know, and you have to just acknowledge it and go on with your life and live it to the best of your accord. But the thing I always appreciate about you is, like, figure yourself out. Look, you know, be your own best advocate during this. Do not just give all your power to the doctors and the system as a whole.
Never. Right? No.
Elena, I always find our conversations all stimulating, and I find, you know, you to be a beacon of hope in an array of kind of people that are telling you what to do. You're kind of saying, not this is what you do, but always have the hope within yourself and look inside. Yes.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for that. Continue to do what you're doing. Where can people learn about you and see more on you?
Well, my Instagram, you know, Panther.
It's a wonderful Instagram.
Yes.
It's beautifully colorful and vibrant, and you still get a flavor of who you are.
Yes, I try.
So head over there. Lena, thank you so much for this and for taking the time, and again, for being that beacon of hope for so many.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it too. And go check out Lena on Instagram, Panthera Style. And until next time, continue writing your own healing story.